right. So then a couple of things that I also wanted to say. Okay, now don't forget, we haven't said anything lately, but that doesn't mean anything, does it? All right, you got your prayer teams. You have given you August assignments. Your prayer teams, don't forget. All right, don't forget, you know, and your miracle prayer request. Put it right here. Put it right here. And then also, you know, even though we want organized teams, you can come up and pray anytime you want. Come up and pray, all right? Let's be a praying church. It's one thing to be a praying people. Let's be a praying church, okay? You know, I assume that these altars are here for some reason. I'm not quite sure since I've been here, but I know they're here for a reason, okay? And, you know, come up and pray before church. Come and start praying for the services. Praying for God to have his way. Pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit, right? Pray. You know, so, you know, prayer team is focused on our miracle prayer requests, right? Okay, but others, you come in here and come down here at the altar. And start seeking after the face of God, okay? All right, you know, if we do these things, God has much in store for us, all right? He has much in store with us. We must unite together in heart and seek his face. Are you hearing that? We must unite together in heart and seek his face, all right? All right, don't we need Sunday school teachers? Do we need Sunday school teachers?
Sure.
Okay. We need teachers. It's just kind of on my heart. Work in the church. Work in the church. Is this your church? Work in the church. Don't simply be an attendee, okay? Work in the church. Be a servant of God, Sunday school teacher, but there's a lot more. I'm telling you who is so creative, and that's the Holy Spirit. And boy, he'll create a niche for you that he'll say, serve me in this, and he will bless you. Beyond imagination. Nobody asked you to do it. Nobody called you to do it. It wasn't a position in the church, you know, but the Spirit of God put it upon you, all right? And then you start serving God in that realm, okay? All right? Well, amen. Hallelujah. Praise his blessed name. Let's go, if we would, to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Yes, ma'am. Oh, what do we need to do? Oh, I thought. Children, you're dismissed. I knew Sherry was looking at me kind of funny, but I wasn't quite sure why. I think I did pretty good to go through all the announcements that I went through. Yes. See, I was as confused as they were. All right, praise the name of the Lord. Okay, so let's go to Luke, into Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, praise his holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I've got this kind of you might call it a funny title. I could have continued in the joyful way. I did part one of the joyful way. I could have easily done that, and I'll touch on probably some of that. But I just had it so much in my heart. My friend, the Holy Spirit. And my friend, the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do today is that I want to introduce you to my friend, the Holy Spirit. Oh, he is just so incredibly good. You know, and you can know him in such a personal way. Now, where I'm leading, and not today, but you know, we're going to have opportunity. We're going to make it available for anyone who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, where we lay hands on you, okay? We're going to have, little prayer teams, and we're going to have some designated times. I've got a message going. I thought I was going to maybe do it, but the Lord told me, no, not right now. And that is explaining the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to explain that to you. You may already know. You may already be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, but you may not. You may have been prayed for to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but maybe the tongues has not come. Listen, I talk about tongues freely, okay? You know, because I have no shame about tongues. I am so pleased and I'm so happy and I'm so elated and I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for the gift of tongues, because there is such power for the individual believer. I'll talk about it just a little bit here in just a moment. But well, the first thing that I want you to see, you don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be afraid of him. First thing I'm wanting you to look at here through the word of the Lord is that I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Okay? I want you to see Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now here's Luke chapter 3, and this is in verse 21. And it says, "Now it came about when all of the people were baptized." Then it goes on to that Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened. And the humility of Jesus is beyond me. You know, because this was John. He was baptized by John. And this was a baptism. The Spirit of God was moving in such a way. He was the forerunner of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were brought people to repentance. It was the baptism of repentance. Repentance from your sins. That's what this was. And isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that Jesus humbled himself in such a way as to identify? This was a part of totally emptying himself out. Totally emptying himself out. You know, and then he yielded to that and submitted to that. Now, look on, and heaven was opened. Here's verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended, look at this, upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." You know, so he was totally yielded. But do you see the Holy Spirit? It says in the word of the Lord that the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, as a dove. Now, I have a hard time explaining or understanding all that. I don't know, you know, at all. I just know what I read. And I hope that's how you approach Scripture. You know, when it comes to tongues or any gift of the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not a matter of figuring it out. It's a matter of believing on it. It's a matter that you humble yourself as a little child. I'm telling you right now, you will never figure out God. You will never figure him out. But you can know God, and he will make himself known to you. And the reason he'll make himself known to you is because he will reveal himself to you. And this is what God does in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, intellectual understanding, there's a place for our intellect, okay? There's a place. I admire people that are just, you know, very well educated. They're so smart and whatever that would be. You know, it was my mother's cousin, and my mother's cousin had a PhD in Hebrew, and he taught at the New Orleans seminary back some time ago. You know, and I mean, you know, this guy was a very, very educated guy. I mean, he knew Hebrew, very intellectual individual. But I want to tell you, the intellectual man has got to humble himself before God, and he has to let go of all of his intellectual powers that he might find a power that is greater than and mightier than his intellect could ever make known, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit.
The flip side of that is the, you know, the one that, you know, he may not be as smart, you know, as my mother's cousin was or whatever. I kind of put myself in that category, you know. And, you know, it doesn't matter what your education level is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your intellect might be. I want you to know that these are not hindrance to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because God has made a way to know him that comes through the heart and not through the intellect of Almighty man. And this is how we come to know the Lord. I've said this before and you know it, that isn't it an amazing thing of demonstration of the Holy Spirit of the living God that he takes Peter, who was a fisherman that had no education whatsoever and could barely write. And he made him the apostle to Israel, all right? To the learned people, to the ones that, you know, that studied all of the Hebrew and constantly. He was the apostle. And then here was Paul, who was a very educated, highly educated man of Israel, but he didn't make him the apostle to Israel. He made him the apostle to the Gentiles. This is the way of the Lord. This is the way of the Lord, and it comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit of God wants to reveal himself to you. He'll also reveal Jesus to you, and he'll also manifest Jesus in you. But you can know him as well as he reveals Jesus, and he'll be a friend to you. He'll be a friend to you. He reveals the intimacy of God's almighty love. Now look on. I'll look on and then see verse 22 again. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form as a dove. And a voice came out of heaven. Thou art my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit will never force you into doing anything that you don't want to do. The Holy Spirit will never call upon you to put you into embarrassing, compromising situations and circumstances to humiliate you before other people. He'll never do it. He'll never do it. He is the ultimate gentleman. The ultimate gentleman. He was manifested in the like nature as a dove. That's how he's manifested. And not only is he manifested like a dove, but he's as gentle as a little lamb. He will only do what you allow him to do. Don't confuse the moving of the Holy Spirit with deceptive spirits that are of a fanatical nature. Because that's not the Holy Spirit of God. But at the same time, let me say this, that we have to open up our hearts. And you can see the moving of the Holy Spirit. We had a tongues and interpretation of tongues here this morning. You know, the Holy Spirit will move more and more as we give him freedom to move more and more. As we go forward in him without fear. Without fear. And when I say that is that I'm not afraid of the fanatical things that come. I'm not afraid of what's called the wildfire. Okay? We'll handle the wildfire with the fire. It's our good pleasure. It's our good pleasure. Right? You know, and there's always things that come. The evil one loves to go to church. Okay? You know there's religious spirits. Don't you know that? You may be run into a few of them. Right? You know, religious spirits. The devil and his gang, all right, there's a hierarchy order to the powers of darkness. And in that hierarchy order of the powers of darkness is one that is of a very, very extreme religious nature. Because religion is rooted and grounded in self-exaltation. That's where religion is rooted and grounded. It's filled with spiritual pride.
not with the spirit of Jesus that you see what he did right here, is that, you know, he submitted to the baptism of John. Completely emptied out and surrendered out and say, Lord, I'm not my own. Lord, I'm yours for you to take me and do with me whatever you want to do. You know, so there's all types of things that come. And the whole point with all of that is to stop the real movement of the Holy Spirit of God. Can I tell you a little story? You know, I hope it's okay to tell it. I worked or was with David Wilkerson's ministry for a number of years. When they went to New York, I took over the church there in Texas and pastored there. And I loved David Wilkerson. He was a genuine man, okay? He was a genuine man. You know, he was truly a holy man. He was. Now, I was all suspect of big names because I'm not impressed with big names. Matter of fact, I may have a little bit of prejudice the opposite direction. I don't know. But anyway, you know, they don't mean nothing to me. All right, so, you know, I was around a lot of big names. I met a lot of big name people during that period of time. David was a very, very humble, humble man. But can I say something? You would never, ever have the moving. Now, you'd have the presence of God. You'd have the working of the glory of God in holiness and people, and especially repentance, okay? But there would be no place for the moving of the Holy Spirit in any of his meetings. He was raised Pentecostal. His mama went to my church, okay? She was elderly. She lived right there in Lindale, and she was a member of our church. You know, and she was, I won't tell you, she was through and through Pentecostal, right? Because that's how David had been raised. But there was no place for the moving of the Holy Spirit in any of David Wilkerson's meetings. Do you know why? Everybody was scared to death. They were scared to death because if they did anything wrong, or anything was of wrong nature, or it was a wrong prophecy, or whatever, it was going to be called out right then and there. When you have that kind of atmosphere, nobody is going to do anything because everybody is scared to death. We don't want it. So we take, and I'm not encouraging it, I'm just saying that we want the fire of God, we want the Spirit of God, and sometimes with all that comes a little bit of the wildfire. But we're not going to hang anybody from the rafters, right? I don't have any tar. You got any feathers? No, he's okay. So Kathy doesn't have any feathers and I don't have any tar. So, you know, we're not going to tar and feather anybody. Are you with me there? You know, because part of the walk of the Spirit is stepping out in faith. If you don't step out in faith and what the urgings of the Holy Spirit is doing into you, the Holy Spirit can never establish you in it. Okay? Now, can you mark here? Can you just mark that spot right there? And let's see here. I want you to go over here to Romans 12 real quick. Romans 12. And I want to show you something. All right? Mark that because you're going to come right back to it. Now, here in Romans 12, just a little word that is spoken, just a little word, okay? And it's talking about gifts, but these are not the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they're giftings of God. And it's spoken right here and you also see the broader definition of gifts of God here. Here is Romans 12 and verse 6, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them. Now look at this. Accordingly. If prophecy. Now look at this. If prophecy. According to the proportion of his faith. Now I'll just read on. And you'll see some of the things he's talking about.
He says, or he who exhorts with exhortation, or he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All right, but now, but the one thing I wanted you to see this, you know, let them prophesy according to the proportion of their what? Of their faith. So do you see that? So, okay, the larger your faith, all right, the greater in depth of the work and blessing of the gift of prophecy. All right? The smaller of your faith, then the more limited, right? Is that not what it's saying right there? And so do you see that element? People seek to be knocked down by the Holy Spirit, and then they'll do it. So is with speaking in tongues. I'm waiting for the, you know, I read where this one pastor said what we kept waiting for all the time is that we thought that when we got the gift of tongues that God deposited like a little radio down in our vocal cords. And then when tongues come, he turned the radio on, and then, you know, then we went. You know, that's a wrong idea about tongues. You cooperate with the Spirit in speaking in tongues. You have to open your mouth. You are the one who does the speaking. The Holy Spirit gives you the utterance, is what it says there. Okay, in Acts 2, he gives an utterance. Now, that word utterance means to utter. Means to utter. So, you know, one that speaks in another, when somebody lays hands on you and then you are receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's called the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, on the day of Pentecost, he was given. Are you with me? Now, you don't have to have an experience like the day of Pentecost. May I give my opinion? All right? My opinion is that the Holy Spirit, not only did he come and baptize them, fill them with the Holy Spirit, but not only did he do that, but there at that particular point in time was the creation of the church. Okay? So, you know, there was tongues as flaming fire, right? Okay? And some of the, well, if I don't have that type of experience, if I don't really feel anything, or, you know, there's not some kind of a supernatural movement up on me, yeah, I must have not got it. No. Did you see how Jesus was filled? I'm going to show it to you in a minute. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit when that happened to him. Okay, now do you understand that the Holy Spirit was manifested on Jesus as how? As a dove. Is that right? As a dove. The very character and the very nature. But then you look at the day of Pentecost, and I mean to tell you, they had over every one of them like a tongue of fire. Kind of different, wasn't it? Right? It was different. Well, because on the day of Pentecost, you know what they were waiting on? They weren't tarrying for it. That's a mistaken idea. I don't have to tarry for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They were tarrying for the day of Pentecost, which was the day that the promise would be fulfilled. Now, were they praying? You know, I'm going to tell you this. They weren't sitting up in the upper room watching football games and eating popcorn and drinking Coca-Colas. They were seeking God, and okay? Now, for them, it was a time of tarrying because they were waiting for the day of Pentecost. But that is not a pattern to be followed afterwards in the baptism in the Holy Spirit at all. He is called the gift, all right? Acts 2:38 says that he's called in other places, it's called the gift. And it says, receive the gift. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit by faith because he's already been given. Are you hearing me? Now, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, and tongues is yours at that point in time. It is yours, okay? Galasse, the Greek word for tongues, it means a tongue of language. That's the definition in the Greek, is that a tongue of language. You literally receive a heavenly language. Oh my gosh. That is an exciting, I don't know what is, right? You know, a heavenly language that comes by the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens is that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit invading your heart and taking control. He's taking control of your heart. And what that means, he's taking control of everything within your heart. That means that you gave him permission to possess you with himself in every way that he wants to possess you. When the Holy Spirit comes in that way, guess what happens? A divine communication is set up that bypasses the intellect of man. It bypasses. Because see, you understand until that time, all right, you've received salvation, you've received justification, you've received a work of grace within your life, you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you've been washed and you've been renewed, but you have not been filled. You have not been filled. And the proof of that evidence is the way that people walk with God after that. How do they walk with God after that? In their intellect. And what do they war with? They feel like a lot of times they're like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. One minute they're a man of the Spirit. The other man, that old man that we say is dead, he keeps rising up and taking control. It's like, well, you keep telling me that he's dead. And you keep showing me in the Word of God where I'm not bound to him anymore. But I tell you, that's not really my experience. It is until you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because now knowing God is still bound through your intellect, not from your heart, with the overflow of the Holy Spirit, who no longer communicates with you through the intellect by itself, not in intellectual understanding, not in intellectual understanding. I'm not saying you don't get understanding, but how he communicates you now is from the heart. And as he communicates to you from the heart, he does it through light. He does it through revelation. He does it through knowledge. He fills the heart. And then what he fills the heart filters up to the intellect. And then it's life, not intellectual knowledge. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Power comes into your life. Because until that time, walking in just simply being justified before the Lord, glory to God for it, that's getting saved. And praise God for getting saved. But he wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. See, that old man, you were a slave of that old man, that you inherited from Adam, the old sin nature. But when you received Jesus, you were no longer his slave. You're no longer bound by him, where you had to obey him, all right, and do what he told you to do. You're now a new creation in Jesus and has been formed in you, the new man. Jesus being called the last Adam. Adam was the first federal head of a man. It was in the flesh. Jesus is the first federal head, okay, of the man of the Spirit. And so you are now, life has come in you, the new man of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're no longer bound. But when you haven't had the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you're still trying to walk with God through your intellect. And you can't see anything past those two doors back there. And you're ruled by your feelings. You're ruled by everything going on around you. You're ruled by, your senses. All these things rule your life. Okay, and in that type of Christianity, you live more of a defeated life than you do a victorious life. Because you don't have the power that sees beyond those things, that sees Jesus, that sees the victory, that sees the truth that's revealed to you. The Holy Spirit starts giving you a revelation of that old man, and you say, doggone it, I have been taken by him for so long that, I thought he was so powerful. And then doctrines come along. Okay, doctrines come along to learn you how to just leave that old man alone, right? You know, here's a good one. Oh, I love the Lord with all my heart. It's just that in my flesh, I still obey sin. That's not what the word says. And on and on. But this is for you. And you are to be made to walk victorious. You don't have to obey sin. You don't have to obey your flesh. You don't have to be victimized by fears, you know, by rumors, by the uncertainty of life, by the uncertainty of the world, to where there is no place of having peace. There's no place to have peace. You know, that's why people, you know, they fill their mind with whatever they can to keep themselves from thinking. You know, I can't think long enough because then if I think long enough, I'll be terrorized. You know, so, man, gotta be on that phone, man. You know, I gotta be endless junk that is worthless. Detach yourself and find your God. Detach yourself and find your God. You'll find his presence will benefit you a whole lot more than all that you're getting off of whatever. Now, okay, here we go. So come back here and look with me if you would, if you don't mind. And this is back in Luke. Now, in Luke, here we are in Luke, and we've seen this, and we've seen what happened. Now, look at this, and look at the next verse. Okay, so the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove in verse 23. And when he began, and when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being supposedly the son of Joseph, the son of Eli. Now, do you see what happened? Do you see what happened after this happened with him having the dove descend upon him? That's when Jesus' ministry started. Do you see that? Okay. He walked a private life until then. Right? He walked a private life until then. Now, do you see what happened? So you're empowered to be the servant of the Lord. The power of God comes upon you. So that, number one, and we don't talk about this much with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but number one is that you don't have to get better or do better to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be holy to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, but you know what? He's going to make you holy, but he will, I won't say take a lifetime, but he'll take a lifetime making you holy. All right, do you understand what the real bottom line? The bottom line of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is so that he has servants on the earth, his body, that look like him. They look like him. This is the great work of the Holy Spirit, is to conform you and I into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way the Holy Spirit does this is he works from the inside out. This is how he works. He deals with those things on the inside of you, okay, in order to get a hold of your uncontrollable mouth. All right? That's how he does it. He works on the inside of you, so that he can get a hold of that horrible, terrible temper that you have. He works on the inside of you so that you not be controlled by that spirit of lust any longer. He works on the inside of you so that you can be delivered of those life things of such a controllable nature that makes you so unhappy that you don't know why you do them, and you don't know why you're like that. And it just keeps coming and coming and it's like you have no control. It's the Spirit of God that sets you free of those things. Now, look on. So his ministry started. Come over here in Luke 4, verse 1 says, and Jesus, look at this, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness. You know, notice that. He's now being led by the Spirit of God. You know why he's going to the wilderness? So he can be tried in every human way, in heart, in mind, and body. That he can be tried in any way you can be tried, so that he can be made victorious, because he's that first new man of the Spirit. And when I receive Jesus, as I received from the first Adam, that sin nature, and in Jesus, the last Adam, I receive the new nature, and I receive all of his victories. If you're a Christian, you get rid of the excuse, I can't help it. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to God. Or get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't help it. I'm just that way. My mama was like that. Well, good for her. She didn't have to be that way either. And you don't. Are you with me? Are you with me? You know, the devil wants you and I to settle so much. He really does. Now, that word right there, full, is pleres. It's P-L-E-R-E-S, pleres, the word full. And this is, it just means to be full or to be filled, all right? All right, to be full or to be filled. Come down in verse 14. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Do you see that? And news about him spread through all of the surrounding district. Now, he returned in the power because the power of God was established in the midst of that wilderness time that he was being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by the wicked and evil one. Not only that, but every human urge came upon him in every way. Every human urge came upon him. Every human desire came upon him. He was tempted. You know, we just get just a portion of the temptations. You know, because, you know, being there 40 days and 40 nights, this room couldn't contain all the ways, you know, that he was tempted. And any way that you can be tempted, he's already been tempted. And not only was he tempted, but what he did for you and me is that he won the victory over the temptation. Oh, what a wonderful God. Look down here, if you would, in verse 14 again, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Now, that word power right there is the Greek word dunamis. It's the Greek word dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And that word dunamis, it's the same word, just listen, in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's the same power. It's the same power. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same victory. Now, that word, dunamis, means, of course, it means power. Power, it means strength, it means ability, it means might, it means miracles, it means the realm of the miraculous. You enter into the realm of and the more that you're willing to walk in that by faith, the greater establishment in the realm of the Spirit that you will find. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues. Well, let me just explain that in a minute. You'll give me a minute, right? The Word says that the Spirit gives utterance. Okay. Well, utterance, that Greek word means to simply utter. And so this urging comes because you've received by faith, okay, by faith, okay, not on earning it or anything else. By faith you receive it. And then when you receive it, you know, this the Spirit of God comes and he starts to fill the heart. You may feel an utterance coming from down here. You just kind of feel it. You know, you may have it already on your tongue. Your lips may start kind of moving or whatever. You may see it. It comes in different ways. And I can't explain it all, but it comes almost like syllables, like a baby. You know, when I first spoke in tongues, it was choppy, right? And, you know, it'd sound like a baby. You know, and then through the years, it changed and transformed. And then words, words, right? You know, was there. And then it grew, and its influence grew if you keep doing it. If you keep doing it. All right. Now the other thing is that, and I didn't get to read it, okay, but in Luke 11, you know, if you ask for the baptism in the Holy Spirit and tongues, the first thing is, it's activated at will. It's given, but you got to activate it at will. Just like you have to activate what? Your faith, right? Well, let them prophesy according to the portion of their faith. Is that what it said? Okay, so you got to have faith, don't you? And then the Spirit comes, you know, through the activation, right, of that faith. So when you see these words or feel these words, you just open your mouth and you speak them. Okay? And the first thing that'll come to you, it's at will. Everybody say at will. It's at will. It's there because it comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's a divine communication. It's a heavenly language. All right? It's a divine communication. And what is it communicating? What it's communicating is that you're able to speak the very depths of your heart to God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, what you cannot express with your mind, right, and your intellect, or you don't know how to speak, or you don't know what your need really is, or you don't really know how to pray about it, or you don't know what to say, or you don't know what to do, you know, because of the intellect. Praise God for our intellect, but walking with God is not the main force in which we walk in. We walk from the heart by the Holy Spirit. And so, anyway, so you have now a heavenly language that has been given to you, and you activate it at will. I can start speaking in tongues when I want to, right? I'm not waiting for anything to come over me or anything like that. I speak when I want to. You know why? Because it's activated at will. It's activated at will. So the first thing that happens to somebody is they say, they kind of like, they'll stop. They'll stop because, you know, is that me? You know, but they're looking for that radio. You know, they're looking for the radio turned on down there. And yeah, you know what I mean? That's what they're looking for. And they think I must not got baptized in the Holy Spirit because that didn't happen to me. Okay? Well, you know, I didn't have any instruction by any kind. I just had people lay hands on me for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't tell me a thing. All right? And then they lay hands on me, pray for me, and I was sitting there, and I kept waiting. I kept waiting. Nothing happened, you know. I mean, I didn't feel anything happen. You know, nothing happened, you know. But I did believe it. And then as time went by, you know, I don't know how long, it's been a long time ago. And I don't know if a week went by or whatever it was, but some time went by, you know, but this urge, right? You know, I had an urge, right? You know, I had an urge, the people that approach it like, well, if God wants me to speak in tongues, okay, forget it. You're not going to speak in tongues. You don't want it bad enough. Why would he give it to you? Well, I'd had enough. All right? I'd had enough. It was a Friday night. I went into the den. I told everybody, leave me alone. I'm fine. You'll see me when I come out speaking in tongues. I went into the den and I shut the door. And I had a resolve. And I meant it. I meant it. I was 20 years old. I'm a little older than 20 now. I wasn't coming out till I spoke in tongues. And I meant it. I meant it. It didn't matter if I was in there for days on end. I was not going back out that door until I spoke in tongues. I was there about 20 minutes. How I love you, my gracious one. How I love you, oh, my holy one. How I love you, my holy one. Oh, be filled with my love. Oh, come to me. Oh, my little one. Come to me and be filled, my little one. Come and receive of me and know my love. Holy Spirit, come meet the Holy Spirit. Come meet him, Holy Spirit. Come meet him. 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 He's moving on you right now. Okay? I'm going to just give him a minute. You can just sit right where you're at, but is there anybody that want hands laid on them? If you do, would you raise your hand? Beatrice, right here, would you come? All right. Kathy? Kathy, would you come right here behind you? Would you lay hands? Anybody else, if you want to be laid hands on, okay. And that you receive the Holy Spirit right now. Now, some of you need to be renewed in the Holy Spirit. You've neglected him, okay. And all that stuff dries up in you. It dries up in you, okay. Be filled today, be filled today. Oh, come be filled. Oh, Lord, there's a great renewal coming upon you, brother, in the mighty name of Jesus. There's a great renewal coming upon you, sister, in the name of Jesus. Oh, a renewed life, renewed work, renewed ministry, renewed like never before, be imparted in the name of Jesus. Hey, ha, la, ha, la, yo, yo, yo. And then you just open your mouth. You open your mouth and you start speaking. Ho, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, be free. Oh, be free. Oh, be free. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free. Oh, la, 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 no. Oh, oh, no, no, no. Humbleness, be free. Oh, be free. Ah, la, la. Oh, be free. Oh, la, yeah. Oh, be, oh, le, oh, le, oh, and, le, oh, oh, kala, kala. Oh, my, yeah. Oh, I'm singing the love song of the Lord over you, sister. Yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, be broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, let the yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. And let it be broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. If you pray in the Spirit, then start praying. Oh, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of him. Oh, he is Jesus. He's the manifestation of Jesus. He's the manifestation of Jesus. Hey, 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 oh, yeah. Hey, hey, oh, hey, hey, oh, oh, yeah, la, oh, la, yeah, oh, la, la, yeah, oh, yeah. I'm an alamo, yeah, 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 oh, yeah, yeah, oh, I shouldn't you know, yeah, oh, I praise you, oh, Lord, my God, I lift up your name and exalt you, oh, you're my holy God and you're my mighty King. Oh, blessed Lord, blessed Savior, you're my blessed deliverer. Oh, I give praise and glory of your righteous name, oh Lord. Humbe, 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 le yombo. Oh, I praise you, oh precious Savior. I praise you, oh precious Savior, because you're my God, you're my holy King. Oh, you're so good to me. You're so good to me. You're so good to me. You're so good to me, oh Lord, my God. Oh, oh, oh. So good to me. So good to me. Oh, halimene, holebe hoye, holebele, halimaha. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we pray for you.
Pray for me. I need like a refreshing.
Yes. Oh, na la maya. Oh, be refreshed. Oh, be refreshed. Let the renewal flow. A fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. A fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, be released in Jesus' name. Huh. Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Blessed be the mighty name of the Lord. Oh, let's just all stand. Okay, praise God.